Today's shir is Masechta Bavastra Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Shloish Lekuchis Mitzdarfen. And we're going to learn the Gemara the way the Rashbam explains the case of the Gemara. The Gemara is referring to a situation where there was a field that belonged to Reuven. And then Shimon bought the field from Reuven, was on it for a year. Then he sold the field to Levi. Levi was on the field for a year. And then Levi sold the field to Yehuda, and Yehuda was on the field for a year. So we have a situation of 3 years, that there have been other individuals on the field, not Reuven. But it wasn't the same person all 3 years. It was Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And as the Rashbam explains, the Gemara explains, there clearly are stories, there are documents in the, showing that the field was sold from Shimon to Levi, from Shimon to Levi, and from Levi to Yehuda. From Reuven to Shimon, and from Shimon to Levi to Yehuda. The question here is, given that there wasn't the same person on the field for 3 years, will this still be a legitimate case to establish a chazaka? And says the Gemara, that Shalosh Lekuchis, these three individuals, do establish Mitzdarfim, do establish to have a chazaka. Who exactly has the chazaka? Here too there's a debate. Some say it's, most Rishonim say it's Yehuda, who's now the owner of the property. Others say it's any of the individuals could be partners to this chazaka. However, comments Rav, the Kulam Bishtar. In order for it to be a chazaka, we have to have a documentation that Levi bought it from Shimon, and Yehuda bought it from Levi. Clearly, explained the Rishonim, if we had a document that Reuven sold it to Shimon, we wouldn't have this conversation, because then there's no issue. Shimon could prove that Reuven sold the document. So when the Gemara speaks about a shtar, it's speaking about a shtar between Shimon and Levi, and Levi and Yehuda, not between Reuven and Shimon, because that shtar would end the entire discussion. Lememra. So what the Gemara is teaching us, what Rav is teaching us, says the Gemara, is the Sover Rav, Shtar Islei Kolo. So therefore, if there's a Shtar indicating that Shimon sold it to Levi, the Levi sold it to Yehuda, there's the proper publicity taking place here, and therefore, Reuven cannot claim he wasn't aware what was going on. But if it was only Eden, if Shimon had sold it to Levi, and Levi had sold it to Yehuda, only with Eden, not with a Shtar, Eden less Lukala. Edom themselves don't create the proper call, the proper publicity that could, and therefore the Marakama would be able to say he didn't make a Mechah because he didn't know what was going on. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed true that Edom don't create a call? Vamarav, Rav taught us, Hamaychus saw the Be'edom. If I sell you a piece of property, would Edim, Goyva, Menachosim, Mishabadim? The halacha is like this. There's the concept that we've discussed many times of Nechosim Mishabadim, which teaches us, the concept of Nechosim Mishabadim teaches us that if I sell you a property and I take a chrayis on the sale, it means that if this piece of property that I sell you is taken away by one of my creditors, you have a right to come back to me. And if I don't have the money, you have a right to go back to one of my creditors. Why? Even if I sold a piece of property, after I sold the property to you, you could collect from him if you can't collect from me. Says Rav, that not only is that din applicable when it was sold by a shtar, but even if it was sold just in front of Edom, it creates the proper publicity. And since the proper publicity was created, you have a right to collect from my Nechosim Mishabadim. So we see that a shtar and Edom are equivalent in creating a call, in creating publicity. So ask the Gemara, what is our Gemara, what does Rav seem to be saying? That there's a difference between when something was sold with a shtar, that then there is the proper publicity, the adequate publicity, versus when it was sold with Edom. There is a machlokes v'shoinim. To what degree does Rav mean when he says, "Hamoiches sada be'edim, goyvim menchas mishabadim"? Because we know there's a concept that we've discussed many times called the chrayis tor sofer, which means that if there's a document between you and me where I sell you a property or I lend you money, the halach is, even if there is no clause in the document creating a chrayis, creating my responsibility, creating the ability for you to collect from the nechos mishavadim, we say it was only left out by the, it was omitted by accident by the cipher, but it belongs there. Unless it's clearly spelled out that you're buying it and you're taking all the risk. What will be the halacha by Edom? Some Rishonim say that if our Gemara is equating the din of Edom to the din of Ashtar, so it's automatic. And just like when it's written to a document, the achrayis is automatically applicable, so too when it's done this way, it's automatically applicable. That's how some Rishonim explain the Gemara. Others say that although our Gemara is clearly telling us that enough publicity exists when it's done by Edom, that there could be a situation of achrayis created, of being able to collect from the Nechos Mishabadim, it's only if it was clearly stipulated that when I sold you the property, you said to me, but I want you to take responsibility if this property is taken away from me, and the Edom heard. Then there's a chrayis. But if it wasn't clearly spelled out, even though Edom do create publicity, because as the Mefarshim explained, and this is fundamental to understanding to today's shir, the publicity is required, because what happens? If you buy a piece of property from me, and you have a lien on my property, so now anybody that buys property from me afterwards knows that he's buying property with a lien on it. The only way he would know is if there was publicity. So certainly if there's no publicity, then you can't just create a situation of a chrayis. And Edom, the Gemara is clearly teaching us, can create publicity. The question that the Rishonim debate, is it only created when it's clearly stipulated? Or is it like shtar that it's automatically created? But what we're learning here is that clearly Edom do create publicity. So now our Gemara's question is very geschmack. We started the shir that for chazaka to be created, that this property had to be constantly sold with a shtar. Why? Even if it was sold with Edom, doesn't that create the proper publicity that the Marakama should have complained? Vamarav, Hamaycha Sadeya be'edim, Goyvim and Chasim Shabadim. Answers the Gemara, Hasam v'kuchas inu of Sidin of Shayu. So the Gemara's Tarot says you can't compare the two situations, meaning as follows. If I sell you a property, and I sell it to you with a chrayis, that you have a lien on the rest of my property, now somebody comes and buys the property, comes to buy more property for me, my remaining property that has a lien on it. He's supposed to do a search. If he's an intelligent consumer, he does a search to see if there's a lien on it. And if he didn't do it, he's the one that caused himself trouble. And therefore, he ends up losing. And Edom create enough of a publicity that were he to do the proper title search, he would indeed discover that there are liens on the property that he's buying. However, in the case of a Marakama and Chazaka, he has no reason to do a search. And therefore, the only time there's an adequate call, there's adequate publicity that should make him do the Mecha, is when it was done by Shtar. It was only done by Edom, it won't create enough of a call. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav make this distinction between Edom and Shtar? But not. There's a Mishnah that we're going to learn. The Mishnah says, Hama v'chaver b'shtar, if I lend you money, I'm sorry, did Rav teach us that even with Edom, you could collect from Mishubadim. It says in the Mishnah, we're going to learn later in the Masechta. Hamavas chaver b'shtar. If I lend you money and there's a shtar, then the halacha is goyvim nechos mishubadim. You have a right. Again, let's say I borrow money from you today. I borrow money from you today and it's written to a shtar. The loan is on in a document. So you now have a lien on all of my property. What does it mean that you have a lien on my property? That if I, after taking this loan from you, sell my properties, and now when it comes for you to collect the money I owe you, I don't have money to pay you. You have a right to go to the people I sold my property to after the loan took place and collect, because there was a lien on that property. But if the Hava only took place with Edom, the Loch is, you can't collect from the properties. So what do we see? That there's more publicity created with a shtar than with Edom. And that's why if I borrowed money from you with a shtar, you can go to my Nechasim Mishmadim. If I borrowed money from you without a shtar, only with Edom, you can't. So how is the Gemara saying that Edom create publicity? Here the Mishnah teaches us they don't. V'chi teima, says the Gemara, and if you want to answer, Rav Tana Upalik, Rav has the right to disagree with that Mishnah. And the way most Mefarshim explain the Gemara is that what the Gemara means here is that Rav historically lived at the end of the time of the Tanaim and at the beginning of the time of the Maroim. And that, therefore, some of his positions, some of his opinions were said, well, in the time of Tanoim, and therefore it has the power of the opinion of a Tana, and therefore he has a right to argue in a Mishnah. That's the way most Mefarshim explain the Gemara. Mefarshim go on to say that the Gemara only reluctantly says Rav Tana Upalik. We normally don't try to give Rav the status of a Tana, but here we have a Kasha, and that's why the Gemara is attempting to give this teretz. So we only use it reluctantly. The Ritva doesn't accept this way of understanding the Gemara. Because the Ritva finds it difficult to take the same individual Rav and in certain places consider him a Tana and in certain places consider him a Maira. He's a Tana, he's a Tana. He's an Amira, he's an Amira. He can't be both. And therefore the Ritva explains the Gemara, the Chitei Merav Tana Upalit, that perhaps Rav has a Tana, Rav will be able to identify a Tana who agrees with his opinion, and therefore since Rav is quoting the opinion of a Tana, he has a right to argue with a Mishnah. So well, we can't explain Rav that way. But Rav Shmuel Amritavayu, Milva Peh, if the Milva wasn't recorded in a document, even though there are Edim, and it goes Elohim HaYosh Elohim HaKuchas. So what do we see? The Rav clearly says that you don't say that Edom create publicity. So how are we saying, on the bottom of Amud Beis here, the Rav holds that Edom do create publicity? And as the Rajbo and the Ran explain the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that midoraisa you really can't collect from the Chosim Shibodim. Why? Because Shibud alav deraisa. However, Chazal, and they have the authority, went and said that since you borrowed money with shtar, and there's a publicity, you can't collect mishubadim. So the Gemara's question is, if Rav and Shmuel say that there is publicity created when it was done by a document, our Gemara is teaching us, the Rav says publicity is created by Edom. So why is the Mishnah, and now Rav and Shmuel, differentiating between a loan that was done by Halva, Bishtar versus Halva, that was done by Edom? Answers the Gemara. Milvas Vina Karamas. Where did we say that publicity is created with Edom? We said in a situation of Amoycha Sodeb Edom, that there, publicity is created with Edom alone. Here we're talking about Halva. Milvas Vina Karamas. Milva and Zvini, a loan and a sale, are very different. Milva, ki Yosef is in a ki Yosef. People typically do loans privately. And as the Rishonim explain, certainly the loiva doesn't want that people should know that Nebuchadnezzar needs money and he has to borrow money. So certainly he keeps it quiet. But even the malva has every reason to keep it quiet. Why? Number one, if it's to the loiva's benefit to keep it quiet, the malva doesn't mind also to keep it quiet. But there's even another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim. The malva has a financial benefit by keeping it quiet. Why? Because what happens if the public becomes aware that I, Nebuch, need to borrow money, I'm strapped for cash? What's going to happen to the value of my assets? They're going to go down because people know I'm desperate. So if the value of my portfolio goes down, my ability to repay the malva ultimately also diminishes. So it's the malva's benefit to keep it quiet, and certainly the loiva's benefit. So if it was done, bishtar, something that's done with a document, you can't keep quiet. Versus something that was done, ba'al-peh, ba'edim, and it's alva, that is kept quiet. On the other hand, milva ki koyozef, bezinu koyozef, keich dalitz nechselei, in order to keep the value of my portfolio up. However, zvini, a sale, man de zoven arrow, befresio zoven. Sales are always done publicly. And the Rishayim debate, who makes the publicity? Some say it's the buyer who creates the publicity. Why? Number one, it behooves him that everybody should know he's Baruch Hashem, a wealthy man, and he can afford to buy property. Another pshat is the buyer, if he wants to buy a piece of property, he wants everybody to know he's buying this piece of property, because it's likely that if there's any problem with this property and people know I want to buy it, they're going to tip me off. But if nobody knows I'm looking at this property, they'll never tip me off. So it's the buyer who publicizes it. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that it's the seller is the one that publicizes it. Why? Because the seller wants to get the best price. So the more public that he makes it, he's already decided to sell it, the more public he makes the knowledge that he wants to sell it, it's more likely that a customer with a better price is going to come. And therefore, buy Zvini, buy a sale, even though it's only done with Edim, you have adequate publicity. Milva, you'll only have the adequate publicity with a shtar, not with Edim. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban, the Braisa teaches us, Ochla Av Shana, if a father was on a piece of property for 1 year, Vaben Shtayim, and then the son was on the piece of property for 2 years. Or vice versa. Hav shtayim vaben shana. The father was on the property for 2 years and the son only 1 year. Or a third situation. Hav shana vaben shana v'lekech shana. The father 1 year, the son 1 year, and then a customer, a buyer from the son another year. You have a situation of chazaka. Lememra. Because the Gemara is teaching us, the lekeach is lekol. A proper kol can be achieved. A proper kol can be achieved by a customer. Meaning, so we have a real situation of chazaka. So if the father, then the son, then the buyer were on it for 3 years, the marakama should have been moicha. He should have issued a protest. If he didn't issue a protest, they will have a chazaka. Machloikas Rishonim. Machloikas Rashba and Ramban. When we speak about a ben, does the ben have to be a gadol, an adult, or the same halacha be even by a katan? The Rashba says it has to be a gadol. The Ramban says it could even be a katan. What's the basis of the machloikas? Beautiful machloikas. Machloikas is not beautiful, but this is a beautiful machloikas. The Rashba explains as follows. He says, what is the whole vart? It really brings together what we've been learning in this parak. What is the whole vart of a chazaka? The whole vart of a chazaka is that the marakama should have been moicha. Says the Rashba, that if the one holding on to the property is a katan, so the marakama says, what's the point of being moicha? The child doesn't have the ability to understand my mecha. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, that's the Ramban pshat. The Ramban said is the Marakama should be Moicha. doesn't make a difference who's holding on to it. If you think something wrong is taking place, you, the Marakama, should have been Meicha. And therefore, it makes no difference if the Ben is a God or a cotton. If he wasn't Meicha, we have a Chazak. The Ramban, the Rashba, however, holds that what's the purpose of the Mecha? Because like that, the Machzik will hold on to the Shtar. So when can we say that the Machzik has the intelligence to know, you know what, even though after 3 years I could start discarding my documents, there's a Godel. A cotton doesn't know the difference. Now I'm going to hold my shtar. Now I'm not going to hold the shtar. And therefore, if it's a cotton, the whole word of chazaka doesn't apply. So what does the Gemara teach? So we see from here that al-keach, that if there was a customer, there's an adequate call that we could say to the Marakama, why didn't you make a mecha? Ask the Gemara, Rimini, but there's another brisa. And it's very important to recognize the difference between this case that we're going to learn now in the previous case. In the previous case, well, the Rishonim make this point. In the previous case, it's the machzik who keeps on changing. First the father, then the son, then the lekeach. In this case, it's the ma'arer who changes. Och b'fnei avshana, the same person's on the property. But first it was the father, then it was the son. Och b'fnei. So we have, again, the same cases. B'fnei Av Shana, B'fnei Ben Shtayim, or B'fnei Av Shtayim, B'fnei Ben Shana, B'fnei Av Shana, B'fnei Ben Shnana, B'fnei L'Kayach Shana, Harei Zechazaka. That means, father, son, Ma'arer, M'Lakayach, a Chazaka is established. Ask the Gemara, V'Sakadata, if we're going to suggest, L'Kayach is L'Kala, that when something is sold, as we just said, there's publicity. What should the father have done? What should the son have done? That it should have been Meicha. Why are you on this property? What is the point of Mecha? We need to think this through carefully. What does Mecha accomplish? What Mecha accomplishes is I'm protesting that you are on this property. What's the best protest? If I sell it to somebody else, I'm clearly indicating that in my mind, this property isn't yours. Because were it yours, how would I be selling it? So what do we see? If we're going to suggest that a lekeach creates a call, yet Al-Gemar is saying that it's not a mecha, and that's why a chazak is accomplished. So how we understand this Gemara? Does a lekeach make a call or not? So Tosfos says, I have a way of answering the Gemara's kasha. The previous case is talking about a situation where a lekeach was done b'shtar, and as we started today's shir, something done b'shtar creates a call, creates publicity, versus this case where it was done not b'shtar, and you don't have publicity. Why didn't the Gemara give that teretz? So Tosfos says, simple teretz. The Gemara could have given that teretz, but the Gemara opted for a better teretz. That's what Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara did not want to explain this brisa to be referring to a situation where there was no shtar, because the previous brisa speaks about a case which is, and this brisa is a continuation, where there was a shtar. So the Gemara found it difficult to say that the first part of the brisa is talking with a shtar, and the second part of the brisa is talking where there was no shtar. But then I saw a beautiful pshat, and I've quoted this pshat in our shiurim previously. A chazaka is not really a very strong raya of ownership. And therefore, any mecha, even a weak mecha, is adequate to break a chazaka. So yes, you can argue to me that a shtar is needed to make a call, to make a good call, to make good publicity. But here we don't need strong publicity. Any mecha breaks a chazaka. So yes, there was no shtar, only Edom. But that's enough publicity to break a chazaka. So even if we'll say that the Bryce is talking about a case that it was done only with, that was done only with a, with Edom, that's enough to break a chazaka. So how do we understand this? Papa, the way that we should explain Rapapa's teretz is as follows. Absolutely. If you are on a piece of property that I'm the Marakama on, and I sell that property, selling the property is better than any mechor that I could have done. When is that talk? When is that? If that specific piece of property that you're on, I sell, that's a real good mechor. But what would be, which my papa says is the case of this price, I sell a property, I don't sell this specific property, I sell all of my properties. There, the machzor could say, yeah, you sold your properties, but I didn't assume you sold this property. This property, I assumed, was not included. That's when we need to have a real machzor. And just because I sold it, I won't be able to say that's a machzor, because the machzor could very well argue, I didn't think that this was what you were selling, because this I thought you were agreed was mine. Says the Mishnah. Omnin. Omnin means a craftsman. So the simplest way of learning the Mishnah is that if I give an umin, a tautlin, I give, very simple case, I give my suit to the cleaners. And metautlin, we've learned, you could achieve a chazaka in one day. And then the cleaner says, it's mine. So the halach is that he doesn't have a chazaka. Because we could say, I gave it to you to clean it. I didn't give it to you to, I gave it to you to clean it. I gave it to you to be the tailor. I didn't give it to you. You don't have a successful argument. But many Rishonim say that the Mishnah should not be limited to be speaking about umin or metautlin, even on karka. That means, if I bring a worker onto my property, the worker will never be able to have a chazaka. Because I always could say, yeah, you came here as an umin, not as a lekeach. And that's why I wasn't meicha. There was Rishonim debate. Well, how do we understand an umin? Do we understand an umin to mean that, yes, you're an umin, but you're only an umin if I hired you as an umin. But if the fact is that you happen as a profession to be in the construction business, that doesn't preclude you from being able to ever have a chazaka. That's how some Rishonim say. It's only if you were hired as an umin for this specific piece of property. You were hired as a painter for this specific piece of property. That's when you don't have a chazaka. But just because that happens to be your profession, doesn't exclude you from being able to make chazakas. But the Rishonim take a very strict opinion. And they say any umin, anybody who works in the construction business, can never have a chazaka. The only way he could get a chazaka, the only way he could prove ownership, is he has to hold his documents forever. Hashutfim, we're going to spend a lot of time speaking about shutfim. But shutfim means partners. If two of us own a property together, you can't become machzik on that property. If you say, I sold you my share, you're going to have to bring documentation to prove that that's what took place. The Rishonim debate, if brothers who yarshin a property together, do they automatically, the yarshin, the parents, do they automatically fall into the category of shutfim? Harisin, again, is somebody who's hired as a sharecropper. So again, he can't become a machzik on the property, because I could say the reason I was a meicha, because you were allowed to be here. You're working. And therefore, the only proof you could have is documentation. Fabatropson, somebody who was appointed as an administrator of a state, and the Rishonim say, it doesn't make a difference if he was appointed by Bezdin, or he was appointed by the owner of that property, he can't have Elam Chazaka. Continues the Mishnah. Loyal ish Chazaka b'nechse ishtay. A man cannot have a Chazaka in his wife's property. And as the Rishonim explained, we know, we've said many times, there are two types of properties that a wife brings into a marriage. The nechse malug and nechse tzoyim barzel. Nechse tzoyim barzel belong to the husband. So there's no issue of Chazakas. Nechse malug mean that as long as they're married, he gets the payris of those property. And then when the marriage terminates, he turns back the property to the wife. So nechse malug, the husband doesn't get a chazaka. And I saw three reasons why. The simplest reason is because he's allowed to eat the payris. So he's doing it legitimately. Another pshat, two diametrically opposed pshatim, is that what's the whole vart with a chazaka, as we've always been learning? I should have been Moicha. A wife isn't Moicha and a husband. They're happily married. The husband's on the property. She's not going to complain. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is just the opposite. She's scared of a husband. And that's why she's scared to be Moicha. Similarly, V'loi Leisha Chazok Menechse Bala. What do you call it? A wife can't have a chazak in the husband's property. Again, because the husband wants to keep the peace. So that's why he's not going to be Moicha. The husband anyway has to support her. So that's why he's not Moicha. V'loi la'ab b'nechse ha'ben. V'loi la'ben b'nechse ha'av. A father and a son. Son and a father because of the relationship. And as the Rishonim and the Poskim quote this, say it's not specifically a father and a son. It's all relatives. It's a mother and a son in the same way. It's grandparents and grandchildren. Wherever there's a family relationship that they want to keep the peace and they want to live b'shalom, they're not going to make a mechal. In fact, I saw a very interesting shaila. This doesn't come up so much in our world. In Europe, this was very common. People used to buy seats in shul, and they had that for generations. That seat remained in the family for generations. So the situation where a son-in-law always davened with his father-in-law, the sons didn't even live in the same community. The father-in-law passed away, and the son-in-law took over the father-in-law's seat. Years later, the sons came, and they say, as we're going to learn later in our Masechta, you're not a Yorish of our father. The seat isn't yours. The seat belongs to us. We're our father's Yorishim. So there are really two questions. One question that comes up is, how did the son-in-law make a kinyan in the seat? Which is the next subject of our Mishnah. So the Paiskim say that using an item in its normal way of use is a Maisa kinyan. So the son-in-law sitting on the seat is considered a Maisa kinyan. So he certainly has a Maisa kinyan. The question is, does he have a chazakah? And the Paiskim say, since our Mishnah just said, you don't have a chazakah between relatives, because relatives are not Maicha, one and the other, so the son-in-law can say to his brother-in-laws, why weren't you Maicha? Because we're brother-in-laws, and brother-in-laws aren't Maicha. And he doesn't have a chazakah. B'medvar mamurim, b'machzik. Everything we discussed now was regarding how a chazakah is achieved. Avo b'nois matana, in a situation where I give you a gift, and you want to do a kinyan in that gift, or achet shechalku, brothers are dividing their father's estate, and they want to make a kinyan each to his share, or a machzik b'nechzei ger, a ger is the only Jew that could die without relatives, gershon's gayer, k'katan shenoy l'dami. So the first person who is kaina, his property, becomes the owner of that property. So the Mishnah says we have what's known as kinyan chazaka. How is kinyan chazaka achieved? No, godlu paris kashu. I do some sort of act. That's considered a chazaka. And there's a very fundamental machloikis rishonim, understanding what does a kinyan chazaka mean. It has very serious halachic ramifications. Does a kinyan chazaka mean that you do an act of showing that you're the owner of the property? Is that already considered a kinyan chazaka? Or does a kinyan chazaka mean that you're doing something to make the property better, to the benefit of the property? I'll give you a perfect example. If it means just showing ownership, so opening and closing a door would be enough. I'm the owner here. If, however, you need to do something for the benefit of the property, so opening and closing a door doesn't make the property better. And you would have to make a physical improvement. You would have to put a door on. You would have to put a lock on. You have to make a physical improvement in the property. And then, and only then, do you have a chazaka. Says the Gemara. Avu d'shmu for Levi. Avu d'shmu and Levi taught us, shutef ain't like chazaka. That a shutef doesn't have a chazaka. V'koshkein umen. Let's understand what the Gemara says. What the Gemara is saying is that if I am a shutef with you on a piece of property, and then I'm on the property, and we're going to explain this more in a moment, for 3 years, and I say I have a chazaka. It's not chazaka, because I'm a shutef. Certainly say, Avu, the Shmuel, and Levi, that if I'm a woman, certainly I can't say, why weren't you Meicha? I wasn't Meicha, because you were working on it. You're allowed to be working on it. So if a Shutif doesn't have a Chazaka, certainly an Uman doesn't have a Chazaka. Shmuel told me, but Shmuel has a different understanding. Not like our Mishnah says. He agrees that an Uman ain't like Chazaka, but a Shutif yesh the Chazaka. A Shutif has a Chazaka. Why? Because according to Shmuel, Shutfim do sell properties to each other. And therefore, if I was on the property, and the Gemara is going to explain this more in a moment, if I was on the property for all this time, you should have been Meicha. If you weren't Meicha, you, my former partner, I have a Chazak. Michas Alaza makes a very interesting observation. He says, here we find Shmuel arguing with his father Avud Shmuel. And he says, from here we see that even though a son is not allowed to argue with his father, that's only in regular situation. In Divrei Torah, we have to look for the truth. And the son is allowed to argue with his father. The Shem Tzion Balach, however, saw, is not so ready to accept that. He says the only time a son is allowed to argue with his father, even in Divrei Torah, is when the son is a greater Talmud Chacham than the father. What's the Raya? He says, Shmuel was a greater Talmud Chacham than his father. What's the right that he was a greater son Talmud Chacham than his father? His father was called Avud Shmuel. If he was greater, if Shmuel weren't greater than him, why would he be called Avud Shmuel? He would have been called Vadnoi, or whoever his father's name was. So it's only Shmuel, who was a greater Talmud Chacham than his father, is allowed to argue with his father, even in the Divrei Torah. Everywhere else you're not allowed to argue with your father. V'ad Shmuel Tamei. And Shmuel is following his own opinion. Da'ma Shmuel, ha-shutfim achsikin zel zeh, shutfim can achieve a chazaka on their jointly owned property, or midin zel zeh, they could say edus on each other. We'll speak about that more tomorrow. Menasin shoyim rezaka zel zeh. We'll speak about that tomorrow also. Lem Ramalei Rav Abel Rav Yehuda, b'matet b'rev zakai. Rav Abel asked Rav Yehuda when they were in the cave. And the Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, says there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. He says, the Gemara says they were in the cave of Rav. Why were they in a cave? They were in the cave of Rav Zakkai. Why were they in the cave? They obviously were hiding. He said, look how great they were. They were obviously in danger. They had to hide. But that didn't prevent them from speaking Divrei Torah under all circumstances. So he asked him the matter of Rav Zakkai. Mi am Shmuel, yesh loy, shutav yesh le chazaka. Is it indeed the opinion of Shmuel that a shutav has a chazaka? V'am Shmuel shutav ki yoyer b'shus dami. That a shutav is considered like he has a right to be there. Lav le memra. Doesn't Shmuel to mean by saying this, doesn't he mean to say the shutav ain't loy chazaka? So how are we saying the shutav can have a chazaka, where Shmuel says a shutav is considered like a worker? And just like an Uman doesn't have a chazaka, a shutav couldn't have a chazaka? Answers the Gemara, like Kasha. Hada nachas l'kula, hada nachas l'palga. I'm going to explain this more in a minute. Certain times Shmuel agree that a shutav does have a chazaka, and sometimes he doesn't. And Amalei l'hai gisa, Amalei l'hai gisa. And it can be explained in two ways. And the Gemara explains it. Ravinam, hadaha, amalei l'hai gisa, v'alei l'hai gisa. Let's explain it. It could be that only where the shutif took over the entire property. Rabbeinu Gershom explains the Gemara this way. If you and I are partners on a property, so it needs to be divided. You get yours, I get my share. So, says the Gemara, one way of explaining, that what is the way we're going to divide it? The way we'll divide it is, you'll get half for 3 years, I'll get half for 3 years. And then after 3 years, we'll switch. You'll get my half, I'll get your half. That will be the case that Shmuel will say we have no chazaka. Because it's normal that we're going to divide it that way. And there may be a better half. But that's okay, because I get the better half now, and you'll get the better half later. And that's when Shmuel will agree that no chazaka is achieved. However, even if we're shutfim, no partner will agree that for 3 years I should be on the property, on the entire property by myself, and you should be on the entire property yourself. afterwards. And therefore, if I was on the property entirely by myself for 3 years, it's a raya that I am, that I have a chazaka. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. The opposite, a way of explaining it, is just the opposite. That Shmuel holds, it's very understandable the partners will agree, for 3 years you have it alone, and then for 3 years I'll have it alone. And therefore, if I have it alone for 3 years, I won't have a chazaka. Because that's the normal way of dividing it. But it is not acceptable to divide it, that you have it for half, you have half and I have half. And therefore, if I have half, it must be because I have a chazaka. Ibai Seima, another way. I'm sorry. Hadanach Slakula, both is referring to a situation where I took over the whole property. However, Vlakasha, Had Ispa Den Chaluka, Had Lespa Den Chaluka, which means as follows. If it's a property that is easily divided, Shonim debate, does it mean that each one of us will be left with four Amis, a shear we saw at the beginning of the sector, or each one of us will be left with a property large enough to have, to produce nine kavim? So if each one of us is left with such a large property, and so it's easily divided, so why don't we divide it? It must be because I have a chazaka. But if it's a small property, my having the prior property is not a chazaka because it was too small to divide. Gufa. I'm a shmul, shutuf ki yared brishostami. That if I'm a shutuf, it's considered like I had permission to be there, I'm like a woman. Ask the Gemara, my kamashma, shutuf ein le chazaka. Here's what Shmuel trying to teach us, that a shutuf can't create a chazaka. So why does he use this roundabout language? Lema, let him explicitly say, shutuf ein le chazaka. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Lema, to teach us, shenayt b'shvach ha-magiyah l'ksayim, v'sodash ein asui lita, k'sod asui lita. Let me explain this. The halacha is as follows. If I go to your property, we actually discussed this in Masechta Baba Metzia. If I go to your property, this is the way Rashbam explains the Gemara. If I go to your property and I work on your property without permission, so all I'm entitled to is to the lesser of the value of the expenses I incurred or the benefit that was in, that was accrued to this property. Whichever is the lesser, that's all I'm entitled to. However, if I went with permission, then I'm entitled not just to my expenses, I'm entitled to the value that increased, number one. I'm also entitled not only to get, this is what Rashbam explains, the property, the produce that grew after I began to work, but even the produce that was almost ready to be picked. That's called Shvach HaMagil K'Sosayim. It's already grown up to my shoulders. I'm entitled to that too. If, on the other hand, I did not have permission to work here, I will not be entitled to that produce. Says Shmuel that a partner, let's say you have half the field and I have half the field, and I work on your half, I'm always considered like somebody who came here with permission, and I won't just get my expenses or the valued, the amount that went up, the lesser, I'll get the greater value, and I will also get a share of the Shvach HaMagil K'Sosayim. Let's read it inside. Loimer, Shenaitel, B'Shvach HaMagil K'Sosayim, I'm entitled to get a share in the produce that was already fully grown, B'Sodesh in the Suyelita, even if it's a field that normally is not used for planting trees, and I planted a tree, just like a Soda Suyelita, if it is a field that's made to plant trees. Because that's the special benefit that a partner is entitled to. I saw a beautiful vart as we end the shir. I saw a beautiful vart. There were once partners that entered into a deal. They were good friends, and they entered into a deal. And they were such good friends that they didn't make a contract with each other. But as good friends as they were, they realized once the business began that they should have made a contract. It was already too late. So they went to Adam Gottel, and they said to him, we didn't make a contract. Should we now make a contract? So he said, there's no need to make a contract. So they said, what do you have to do? They said, he said, you have to remember the first four letters of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Gimel Dalet. What does that mean? Amuna. Aleph stands for Amuna. If you will act honestly with each other, Beis, there will be bracha. Gimel. If Chas V'Shalom, you'll be Ganovim, you'll steal from each other, Dalet, there'll be Dalas, there'll be poverty. All we need to do in our transactions with everybody is to work with Amuna honestly, and we will have Beis bracha.